Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
Turn me to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And look at verse 1. I'm going to read from verses 1 through 4. And then I'll look at verse 14, chapter 14 too. I just want to bring out a principle here. It says, and at the end of every 7 years, I didn't hear you, thou shalt make a release. That word release in the Hebrew is Shemitah. Is Shemit, they pronounce it Shemitah. That word release, it means letting drop of exactations, remitting, releasing. You know, it's part where we get the word remit. You know, okay, I forgive your debt. You know, debt forgiveness. Every 7 years, thou shalt make a Shemitah. That's the Hebrew. Shemitah. They pronounce it Shemitah. They don't say Shemitah. You know, I learned that from some Hebrew scholars. You know, so this is where it comes from. And this is the manner, I didn't hear you, of the release or the Shemitah. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release or the Lord's Shemitah. Of a foreigner thou may exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release it. This is how God planned to keep the wealth within Israel. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you must understand that there were certain promises God made to Israel that were so wonderful that you wonder, how is that going to be? You know what God said? He said, you will lend to nations, you will not borrow. It is sad that because of the disobedience of the kings of Israel, and I must say this, and I say it with, I don't say it with any joy. I say it, you know, because it's sad. God was not happy about it. Solomon. If there's somebody who would have fulfilled this, it would have been Solomon. Had Solomon towed the line of righteousness and didn't indulge in all this rubbish that he did, what do you want to do with 300 wives for God's sake? And 700 concubines. Everything God said they shouldn't do, Solomon broke every law. God said, when you have a king, he said, when he sits on his throne, he said, he will not multiply gold, he will not multiply silver, he will not multiply wives to himself. Solomon broke all those laws. But had Solomon kept those laws and now kept the Shemitah thing, by the end of Solomon's reign, there would have been no poor in Israel. Israel would have been so powerful financially that all the nations around her will never make war with her. You know why? She'll be giving them money. She'll give money to Syria and money to Egypt and money. That's what God wanted. He wanted the nations around to be so in awe of Israel that they would come, like by the Queen of Sheba. And when the Queen of Sheba came, she heard about Solomon from, you know, Ethiopia, and came all, made that long journey. When she got there and she saw the wealth of Solomon, heard his wisdom, he said there was no more spirit in her. You know what she said? She said, I have heard. He said, but, you know, and I did not believe. He said, but when I now came, you know, and I saw it, he said, the half has not yet been told. God was trying to use Israel and the temple of Solomon as a showpiece to the ancient world that would have brought all the nations to Israel and made proselytes of all of them. It would then have been very easy for, you know, when the Messiah came, it would for the Gentiles just to flow. That was the plan. It was scuttled by Solomon and many of the kings that followed him. It was after Solomon, the kingdom divided into two. because of Rehoboam, you know, and then Jeroboam, and you know the rest of the sad story. But this was the plan. But the good news is that in Christ Jesus now, we can rectify it. And we are going to. Save, verse 4. Save when there shall be no poor among you. Can you believe this? You know, there's some scriptures that are difficult to believe. This is one of them. Save that there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee. I think some of you thought that I just read that the Lord shall, you know, bless you in a small way. You know, God does not use words carelessly. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Verse 5, which is why it didn't happen in Israel, and now it's going to happen with us, the glorious church. Only if thou carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord. See, it's conditional. That's why it didn't. The highest we got to in Israel was David and Solomon. From that time on, Jehoshaphat too had some money, but nothing like Solomon, you know. And they didn't fulfill this scripture. But because we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, watch this, and we are a glorious church, we are destined, and we're being prepared now to be a glorious church, having no spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing, that condition will automatically be fulfilled. So what Israel did not do, the church will now do. Hence this prophetic message. That's why I call it Shemitah prosperity. That verse 4, I want you to look at it in the New International Version. It's very interesting. However, there need be no poor people among you. You see the language, see the way the Holy Spirit is. In other words, there should, even in the church, there should be any poor among us. They are poor among us, but they should not be. However, I didn't hear you. There should be no poor among you. For in the land, the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance. That's the perfection and the fullness of Christ. He will what? Richly bless you. We are now in the Shemitah year after the warfare intensified. I have a good announcement to make. We're winning the war. Give the Lord a clap offering. We are actually prevailing over Satan and his principalities in the heavenly places. We are getting revelation that they never dreamt we could get. The armor of love, the whole armor of God, perfecting the love of God, praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, the life of God, things that principalities and powers tried to hide for us for millennia and centuries. But the Holy Spirit has now opened it up to us. The church, not the whole church, but the Zion church, particularly here beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, you know, is now putting all those principles into practice. Prevailing over Satan and his guys in the heavenly places. So the time for the fulfillment of this Shemitah prosperity is upon us. It's coming with this spiritual victory in spiritual warfare over the heavenlies. And Nigeria is going to be one of the first nations to be a beneficiary. It won't be the only, but it's going to be one. When you look at the Nigerian situation now, it looks hopeless. In the natural. The corruption, you know, the politicians have no ideology. See how they are switching from party to party. No names mentioned. See, I mean, you'll be shocked Don't these people even have any integrity? Everybody just wants what they can eat. And they tell you in this party, if you come to our party, all your sins are forgiven. And once you come, they will give you something else to eat. So the guy will leave that party and join this party. Now, some are joining, you know, are changing for integrity because they want to do the work. And, you know, they'll just use whichever platform is available for them, you know. But some, it's just for the money. But I got good news for y'all that's going to change. You know why? The church is now ruling from the heavens. Like God told Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel, that you will know that the heavens do rule. I just got another word. This is not in my notes. It's just flicked to me now. Do you know how many times passed over Nebuchadnezzar? 7. It was 7 years. He was in the wilderness eating like an animal. And the Bible says, 7 times shall pass over thee till thou knowest that the heavens do rule and God gives it to anyone that he wants. That is going to happen now. We're not going to run for political office. We're too busy. You didn't hear me. I'm too busy. My wife and I and the pastors, we're too busy. We're too busy praying. I don't have time to become president and all of that, but we will put who will be there. By the Spirit. I got another word for you. Then we will remove the one we want to remove. Exactly like Daniel. I remember many years ago when President Obasanjo became president. My wife wrote him a letter. We called it From the Daniel Company. Because she came to ask me, said, "Honey, can I go?" I said, "Yeah." But I said, "But let it be anonymous, you know." I said, "We God through us, we prayed to get you into power. Please go in the way of righteousness, because we can also pray to remove you from power. It's going to happen now." If politicians have never been afraid, they need to be afraid now. Because this is not man, it's God. See, Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most wicked, even though he had a part of his heart that was good, actually. But he was a very impulsive man. Not only that, he was proud and he was an oppressor. But he had next to him a Daniel who knew the God of heaven. And you know, it's very interesting, and this should encourage everybody, all of us here that are praying people, particularly all those who are in good mornings and be encouraged. God does not walk by numbers. He needs some number, but he just needs a small critical mass. Daniel, it was just Daniel, basically. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't read of anybody else. Yet they were able to determine what happens in an empire. So be encouraged. Our prayers are not in vain. And that bombardment, you know, it increased. It has always been there. But it increased 7 years ago, and we saw the effect. And as we continue to pray now, we are now going to see the manifestation of the Shemitah year and the manifestation of the sons of God. We will be too busy to go and become president. You know, we don't have time for that, because we're not going to reduce our prayer time. But we will be able to pray righteous people into office and remove unrighteous ones. Job 34, which I've shared here before. So, let's get back to the Shemitah here. It says here that God said there should be no poor among you. How can that be? I'll explain. Look, just go one chapter back and go to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and look at verses 28 and 29. This is one of the reasons why we should pay our tithes. You know? Let's read from verse 27. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him. Today, that will correspond to people who are in full-time ministry, who are not working like other people work to get money. You know, they're not in business, or they're not, you know, in secular employment. Not everybody's like that, but some are like that. You know? He said, you will not forsake him, for he has no part or inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth the tithe of thine increase the same year, and thou shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he had no part or inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and that's why we take out of the tithes and offerings and we help the poor, and we help the fatherless, and we help the widow. We do that a lot in this church, though I do it quietly, you know. And the widow, which is within thy gates, shall come, and they will eat, and they will be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand that thou doest. When you put these two things together, what you see is this. God arranged a system inside Israel whereby if the people, and notice this if, conditional, if they paid their tithes as an atwendu and offerings, so that there would be an abundance for the Levites, so that they will not be distracted from their work in the tabernacle and in the temple, and there an abundance for the fatherless and for the widow, God will so bless them that it will eradicate poverty from the land. How? Shemitah year. This was God's plan. And we read it in, where are you? Look at, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15 now. And then we're going to look at verses 7 to 9. This is the plan. Now, this is Old Testament, but we're supposed to now do this now as God is blessing us. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, something happened to my wife and I. It's a little bit private, so I'm not going to go into the details. But my wife will know exactly what I'm talking about. This year, just a few weeks, about a week ago, not long at all, something we call it pleasant surprise. There was a particular thing we were paying money for, and God supernaturally provided, and that whole thing was just wiped off. Then the Lord reminded me, say, you're in a Shemitah year. There are a lot of things that are hanging in your lives now, between now and the end of the year and into 2022, because the Shemitah year goes from September, this because we're now in the new year, the Jewish New Year, starting from the Feast of Trumpets, which was September 7th. Between now and September next year, a lot of debts are going to be completely released. A lot of financial burden is going to disappear. Something you won't even know. Some people just come and meet you and say, it's gone. Others, there'll just be great financial provision. You'll be able to wipe out all your debts because you're in a Shemitah year. It's a year of... So we already have the sign. It has already started. Now, verse 7 to 9. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden your heart, nor shut up thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand. This is where the Yoruba get king or lawo. You know, in our language, that means you open-handed, you know, it means you're generous. Thou shalt open thy hand wide. I didn't hear you. Efe lawoni. Eka. Let's go to verse 8 again. I want everybody to read it. I want all diwat. I want all lawo mwaka. In other words, those who are stingy and those who are generous, I want all of us to read it. Because the stingy will now be converted to generosity. Because you will have what you say. So open your mouth. Say, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need which he wanted. This is how God eradicates poverty. Next verse. Beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart. God knows your number. Say, the seventh, the Shemitah year, the year of release is at hand. In other words, let's assume that it's the sixth year, or maybe the fifth and a half year. And you now see a brother that you can help. The Bible says you should give him not what he asks you, but what is sufficient. He doesn't put it on him, he puts it on you. So he said, you will now find out what the man needs. Then you will take from what God has given you, and God would have blessed you tremendously. See, the problem of a lack of generosity is not because we don't have, it's because we are greedy and selfish. There's something my wife calls the crab mentality. It's very common, especially among the Yorubas. It's true for everybody, but you know, the Igbos are better than us in that area. Igbos help their brethren. If an Igbo man opens a spare part shop, he will bring his brother from the village. Then he will be helping, you know, that one will be helping him. After about some years, he will now give, and they will contribute money together. That guy now, he will open another shop. That's why when you go to certain places, you'll find all of them. It's because they help each other. The Yoruba man will never do that. I'm correcting that. We are changing in Jesus' name. Jesus is changing us, you know. The Yoruba man will hide the secret of his success from his brother so that he can continue to oppress him. If the guy wants to climb up, push him down. I remember there was a story. I just remembered this. It's off the bat, but it's a part of the message. Of Chief Obafemi Awolowo. As a young man, he came from a very poor home. He sold firewood and he served a teacher to be able to go to school. But he was brilliant. So he did very well and he got an admission to go and study law in England. But he couldn't afford it. So he wrote, I'm not going to mention the name, he wrote a very rich man in Yoruba land. He wrote him a letter and begged him to give him the money. And he promised him that when I come back and I start a practice, I will pay that money back within 5 years. This is a true story. The man refused. Crab mentality. It's not good. The man could afford it. He was one of the richest men in Yoruba land at that time. This was in the 1940s. But through providence and the help of people, somehow Awolowo was able to travel. And he went to England and he kept his word. He came back and now he now became premier in 1955, and that man was still there. What would have happened if he had helped him? You don't know that person you help. You don't know what he's going to become tomorrow. Don't have a crab mentality. Don't have a mentality of not helping other people. And don't just help them a little small, sufficient. You know, if you give somebody, if somebody needs, for example, if a person needs 1 million naira for his business to really begin to work, and you give him 50,000, you have not helped him. That's why I said, Kolawo, open your hand. Wow. And figure out what will this person really need to get out of the dump, so to speak, to bootstrap, you know, to lift himself up from the boots. So, okay, he will need 5 million. I have 50 million. Why not? Come on. 5 million. Hey, take. But, you know, it's Shemitah here. Shemitah year is next year. It means that next year, that 5 million is no longer a loan. It's now a woof. That's what God is warning against. He said, take heed that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, the Shemitah year is at hand, and thy eye be evil. Against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Don't your neighbor say, selfishness is sin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.